Pastor, would you take your Bible tonight and find 2 Corinthians chapter 4? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And while you're turning, let me just take a moment and say how grateful I am that you're here tonight. I believe you're in the right place. And I know many of you are here just because this is your church, but a lot of you are here because of the Awana tonight, and we are especially glad to have you here. You may have never been to a revival service before in your life, but you are in a good place tonight, and it's our prayer, if you are saved, that God will encourage you and instruct you and bless you, just to help you in a great way. If you don't know that you're going to heaven, it's our prayer tonight that God will open your eyes to the gospel, and this very night you'll come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Put your finger on verse 3, and I'm going to read it in just a moment. I know we've already welcomed Brother Coyle and his family, and Brother Cook and his, and we're sure glad to have them here tonight. I praise the Lord for these men, and we praise the Lord that they would be a part of this service. But all of you that are guests, we don't take your being here for granted either. Now, I'm going to move right into the Bible tonight because we're a little bit on a time constraint for sake of the Awana. So let's get right to verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Your Bible says these words, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now I want to preach to you tonight about the gospel and the power we need to share the gospel. Did you notice the Bible begins in verse 3 by reminding us that it is personal. The gospel is personal. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Now let me ask you a few questions. Nobody here but us tonight. How many of you are sure that you are on your way to heaven? Now listen to me. The Bible way. Now don't answer that yet. I want you to chew that over. How many of you are sure you are on your way to heaven the Bible way? Now, don't answer that yet. I want you to chew that over. In other words, let me ask you like this. How many of you could stand and say, "This is what the Bible says about going to heaven, and I know that's why I'm going"? If that's true in your life, let me see your hand tonight. You know you're saved the Bible way. Now take your heads down, because I want to tell you something. You may already be saved, but I want you to know the gospel is personal to you. Paul is a saved man, and he says it is our gospel. But you know what? If you're not saved tonight the Bible way, I want to say to you as well, the gospel is personal to you. See, Christmas time is not just about a vacation or Christmas trees or Christmas lights or presents. It is about the fact that 2,000 years ago, God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world to die for your sins. See, all of us are sinners. You may not understand this tonight, but in this building tonight are people who are Christians, who are members of the church, but in themselves are not good enough to go to heaven. Pastor Monty was just on this platform and introduced me. But you know something? Pastor Monty is just like everybody else. The Bible says all have, finish the word, sin, and come short of the glory of God. So that everybody's a sinner, and because everybody has done wrong. Sin is when God says, "Don't do it, but I do." Or God says, "Do it, and I don't." And I think all of us would agree that all of us have disobeyed the law of God. Would you agree with that tonight? All of us have lied. All of us have been rebellious. All of us have been ungrateful. Well, in a building like this, undoubtedly there's somebody who's been an adulterer. In a crowd like this, there's somebody who's been a drunkard. In a crowd like this tonight, there's somebody who's a thief. All of us are sinners. Nobody's exempt. And if I'm going to go to heaven, I have to be saved by the gospel. Jesus Christ died for my sins. He was buried. He was raised from the dead in order that through what He did for me, I can have eternal life. See, you don't go to heaven because you're a Baptist church member. How many of y'all knew that? It's the truth. Now, I'm a Baptist, and I have always been a Baptist. I got saved, and I first joined a Baptist church, and I'm a Baptist tonight. I was baptized in a Baptist church. But, you know, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. Being a Baptist will not save you. Being an Episcopalian will not save you. Being a Catholic will not save you. You don't go to heaven because you're religious. You go to heaven because you get saved through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, Jesus did something for you you can't do for yourself. Jesus died for your sins. You can't pay for your sins. You can get baptized, but that won't take away your sins. Well, you can go to church. You can turn over a new leaf. You can stop drinking, stop smoking. You can give up everything in your life that anybody thinks is wrong and still die a sinner and go to hell, because that will not take away your sins. But Jesus Christ died for your sins. And He was buried for your sins. And He was raised from the dead. And because Jesus died for you and was buried and was raised from the dead, listen to me tonight. You may not understand everything about it, but as a sinner on your way to hell, you need a Savior to rescue you from your sins. You need a Savior who will rescue you from hell. And Jesus Christ is the one who can save you from your sins and can save you from hell. He wants to save you. See, the gospel has to be personal. I got saved not when I became a preacher, not when I joined a church. I got saved as a 15-year-old teenager on my way to hell. I actually had an after-school job with my Uncle Ricky. And my Uncle Rick let me work for him. And at the service station, in those days, it was we had just converted from the old-style service station to the new style. Remember the old style? Some of you are older. Remember when they used to fill your gasoline tank and wash your windshield and check your oil? That was what I did when I was first hired at the service station. Well, then my Uncle Ricky converted it from that kind of full service station into a convenience store. And so we had just made that conversion when I met a man named Mr. Arwood who came to the service station one night and he paid for his gasoline. And then he took a tract about the size of this piece of paper out of his pocket and he handed it to me. And he said, "Son, this will tell you how you can know you're going to heaven." And I said, "Well, thanks." And he walked out and I threw it away. And he came back a few days later and he said, "Hey, did you read that brochure I gave to you?" I said, "I sure did." He said, "Wonderful. Here's another one." And he gave me another one. And you know what? I threw that one away. And that man kept coming back and saying, "Did you read it?" And I'd lie to him. "Sure did." "Great," he'd say. "Here's another one." And he gave me all kinds of little brochures about how to go to heaven. And you know, I don't remember exactly when it was, but one night with nothing else to do, I pulled one of those out of the trash and read it. And then went on about my life. And sometime later, I read another one. A brochure that said, "I'm a sinner going to hell. But Jesus died for my sins. Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. And only through Jesus can you be saved. And you've got to turn from everything else, your religion, your works, your sin, and turn to Christ, or you can't be saved." And I kept reading about that. And I kept throwing them away. And one night, Mr. Arwood came to the service station. And this night I well remember, because they had announced in East Tennessee, where I grew up, they had announced that a snowstorm was coming. Now what that meant was we were going to get about 1/16th of an inch of snow. Now if you grew up in that part of the country, you know what I'm talking about. Because if it snowed 1/16th of an inch, Brother Lopez, we got out of school for a month. It was wonderful. And so what they would do in East Tennessee is they'd announce, "It's going to snow, snow's coming, it's going to storm." And I'm telling you, everybody would jump in their car and make a beeline for the store. They'd buy every gallon of milk, every loaf of bread, every piece of candy, every bottle of pop or soda or whatever you call it. I mean, they'd buy it all. I mean, they cleaned us out that night. And now I'm at work getting paid to just sit there. Nobody else. They all went home and they say in Tennessee, they hunkered down to wait on the storm. And so we're kind of standing around, and I didn't have anything else to do. And lo and behold, I looked up, and wouldn't you know it, there came Mr. Arwood. And I just knew in my heart that man was going to talk to me. And I was right. Because he came in the service station that night, and he took a Bible like this. And listen to me, dear friends. In the middle of a service station, working for my Uncle Ricky as a 15-year-old teenager, this man, Mr. Arwood, opened a Bible and showed me from the Bible that I was a sinner on my way to hell. That a Savior named Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago died on an old rugged cross for my sins. And He was buried. And He was raised from the dead. And that Savior Jesus Christ offered me eternal life as a free gift. Didn't have to earn it. In fact, I couldn't. Never would be good enough. There's nothing I could do to receive it except believe what the Bible said about Jesus Christ and ask Him to save me. And Mr. Harwood showed me that in the Bible. And he said, now son, wouldn't you like to get saved tonight? And I said, no. None of my friends are saved. Nobody I know in school is saved. And I go to church because mom and dad make me. And one of these days I'll get saved because nobody wants to go to hell. So someday I'll get saved, but I'm too young right now. I'm not interested in that. And I'll never forget Mr. Harwood. He said, can I pray for you? And what I thought he meant was, can I go home and pray for you? And so I said, sure. And you know, right in the middle of the service, they said, he started calling on the Lord. I mean, the guy put his arm on my shoulder and started praying up a storm for me to get saved. And right in the middle of his praying, he stopped talking. He's in the middle of a sentence, and then he had his voice raised, and he's praying, and he just cut it off. I mean, right in the middle of the sentence, he stopped praying. And he had his hand on my shoulder, and all of a sudden, it's silent. And I remember peeking. I didn't know what was going on, but I had my head down because I had respect for God and the Bible and this man that was talking to me. And I looked up at him, and when I did, I was startled because Mr. Harwood was crying. He had tears running down his face. And he composed himself and he said something like this. He said, oh, dear God, please don't let this young man go to hell. And he walked out of that building that night, friends, and he got in his car and I watched him pull out and drive down the highway. I had never met somebody who cared about my soul like that. And I went to bed that night and for the first time in my life realized, you know what? I'm going to hell. I'm not saved. A few days later, Mr. Harwood called me and said, son, would you go to church with me tonight? I said, Mom and Dad, can I go to church with Mr. Harwood tonight? They said, sure. Sunday night, Mr. Harwood came by Sunday afternoon, picked me up, took me to church with him. Pastor Monty, the church I was in that night probably would have been on this platform. It was about that big. Had two rows of pews, tiny little building. And I got to confess, I snuck in and sat on the back row. I mean, I don't know why you're on the back row, you're in the back there. But I was on the back row that night because to me that was close enough to the preacher. I mean, I was way back there. And the preacher preached that night. I didn't know the guy. I'd never been here before in my life. Have you ever been in a service where you felt like the preacher was talking to you? He was talking to me. In fact, he kept pointing at me. He would say stuff like this, you're a sinner and you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved through Jesus Christ. And he would point at me on the back row. And I knew he was doing it because he'd look over here and say it, you're going to die in your sins and go to hell if you don't get saved. The guy kept pointing me out. And you know, dear friend, I got saved that night after the service. I heard the gospel that night. And after the service is over, we're going home, pulled him on the side of the highway. And Mr. Harwood turned on his dome light there in the car and opened his Bible and gave me the gospel again. And in the front seat of a car that night, I got saved. I'm telling you tonight, the gospel is personal. Listen, the gospel is personal. If you're not saved, this gospel's about you. God doesn't want you in hell. God knows your sin. And God will condemn you to eternity in hell unless you come to Christ and get saved. But Jesus died for your sins. He was buried for you. He was raised from the dead to offer you eternal life. It's a valid offer. He was raised from the dead to prove that it's a valid offer. Jesus offers you eternal life. You don't have to go to hell. You'll have to as a sinner, but God wants to save you from your sin. I'm here to say tonight, the gospel is personal. But I want to tell you something else about the gospel. There's a problem. Look in verse 4 of our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. May I suggest to you tonight, the Bible is showing us right here, that the problem is Satan will do everything in his power to stop you from getting saved. He might use religion. Listen. It may be that you're in this building tonight and you've never been saved the Bible way. And the reason you never have been saved the Bible way is because maybe you were raised in a church and this church said, get baptized, you can go to heaven. The Bible doesn't say that, but the church said that to you. Or maybe the church said, join this, join our church and live this way, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. And you were taught something religious that you tried to do. And tonight you're hearing the gospel, and the truth of the matter is, if what the Bible says about getting saved is the only way to be saved, then you've never been saved. And you know what's happening in your life? Satan will use religion to blind us to the gospel. See, you could be here tonight thinking, well, you know, wait a minute. I go to church and I give money and I'm a good person. Well, surely if anybody's going to heaven, I am. I had a trailer problem not long ago on my truck and trailer. I blew a couple of tires and I carry one spare, but I didn't have two. And so I had to get this kid come out with his rig and he put an extra tire on my truck because I didn't have two of them, or on my trailer rather. And then because of the way it was set up, I drove to the next exit, which is where their business was, in order to settle up with the people what I owed them. And I pulled my truck and trailer off the exit and went into this business. And there was an older man in there. And I thought to myself, you know, Lord, I don't know why you let me blow two tires, but maybe you want me to talk to these men. And so before I left there, I talked to all of them about getting saved. And one man in particular, he was an older man. And I gave him a gospel tract. And I said, you know, sir, this will tell you how you can know you're going to heaven. And here's what he said. He said, well, for crying out loud, son, if anybody's going to heaven, I guess I have as good a chance as anybody. I guess I have as good a chance as anybody. And here's what his buddy said. All of his fellow workers there in that office, they all went, yeah, right. And I kind of felt sorry for the man. But you know, I don't know you tonight, but chances are there are people in this building and you really think, surely I'm going to be okay. I'm telling you, nobody's okay until they get saved the Bible way. Do you understand that tonight? There's a problem in the gospel. And the problem is Satan will do everything in his power to stop you from getting saved. He may use religious error. He may use your sin. Are you aware that some people would die and go to hell over alcohol? Jack Brown did. Jack Brown was the town drunk in Wartburg where I grew up. I got saved when I was 15. And Brother Josh, Mr. Brown was the first person I ever talked to about getting saved. I didn't know much about getting saved, except that I'd gotten saved. I didn't know all the Bible verses and the theology, but I knew God had saved me. And so I started talking to Mr. Brown. He is the town drunk. He'd come to the service station, buy $1 gasoline every day. Because Pastor, $1 would get him from the service station to the Mountain View Tavern, and from the Mountain View Tavern to his house, and back to the service station the next morning. He did that every day. Every day, that was his life. I said to Mr. Brown, you know, Mr. Brown, you ought to get saved. Jesus died for you just like he died for me. I got saved, you ought to get saved. And I've seen that old drunk cry and say, I know it. I don't want to go to hell and I need to get saved. And he'd say, you know, one of these days I'm going to. I've heard him say that dozens of times. I ought to get saved. I want to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. And one of these days I'm going to get saved. He would say that over and over and over. I heard him say that dozens of times. I'm going to one of these days. But one night, Mr. Brown left the Mountain View Tavern in a drunken stupor. Got inside that car, his little brown Nova, four-door brown Nova. I can still see that car. And he made it all the way home that night. He lived on Gobi Road, on Gobi Mountain, on the north side of Wartburg, Tennessee. He got all the way home that night, made it all the way up the driveway, put that car in park, turned it off, and got out of that car and made it halfway to the door. And in the middle of that night, in the darkness of that hill and that holler up there, Mr. Brown dropped dead in the middle of the night on his sidewalk. You know what happened to Mr. Brown's life? Because of alcohol. He died and went to hell. That was the thing Satan used to blind his mind. He refused to hear the gospel. Don't you know God would have saved him? Don't you know Jesus died for him? Don't you know God didn't want him in hell? But may I stand on this platform and say to you tonight, dear friend, we sit in this beautiful auditorium on this beautiful evening in Avon, Indiana. And if this book is true, and it is, if what Jesus said about heaven and hell is true, and it is, as we see it here tonight, Mr. Brown is in hell. No escape. The fires of the judgment of God forever and ever. And he'll be there for all of eternity in hell because he rejected Christ. and primarily because of a bottle of beer. The problem in the gospel for you that are unsaved is that Satan will blind your eyes and keep you from getting saved. That's his desire, friend. He doesn't want you to go to heaven to be saved. Do you understand that tonight? If in this service tonight you understand I'm not saved, you better open your eyes to the gospel, friend, or you'll die in your sin someday and go to hell, just like Mr. Brown. And God doesn't want you in hell. But dear Christian friend, do you realize there's a problem for us too? The problem for us is that Satan is doing everything he can to stop us from winning people to Christ. He doesn't want you to be a soul winner. He doesn't want you to talk to anybody. He doesn't want you to be used to get people saved. But I want to suggest to you, not only do we have a gospel that is personal, and not only is there a problem, when you get to verse 7, I want to say to you, dear Christian tonight, there is power available for you. There's power. Hey, do you realize it's almost May in 2009? Have you, as a member of Faith Baptist Church in Avon, Indiana, have you won anybody to Christ this year? Can I say that maybe in a kinder, gentler way? Have you tried? I want to tell you, you don't have the ability, church, to see people saved apart from the power that is available from God. Look at verse 7. Did you see verse 7? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That phrase, earthen vessel, is a word that means clay pots. It's talking to those of us who are saved. And you know what it's basically saying in the first part of this verse? You're just dirt. Isn't that encouraging? You're just dirt. You don't have any ability. You don't have any power. You and I are just dirt. That's what he's saying. But, he adds to that, we are dirt that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Dear Christian friend, are you aware tonight when it comes to the gospel that there are three powers available to help you impact people who are not saved? Number one, there's the power of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit? He indwells your body. Can I see your hand tonight? Baptists ought to know that. You know that, don't you? You have the indwelling Holy Spirit tonight. But are you aware that Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit? He said to His disciples, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." Notice that power, God's strength and God's ability and witnessing go hand in hand in Acts 1:8. Do you know why so many of you in this building tonight haven't even tried to see somebody saved this year? Because you know little or nothing tonight about the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You've taken the Holy Spirit for granted. He doesn't indwell you so you can, you know, roll on the floor and in some churches, as they do, bark like dogs and laugh uncontrollably and speak in strange sounds. That's not the point of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to you in your life so that when you are filled by Him, God can work through you to help others to get saved. Are you Spirit-filled tonight? You can't be the soul winner you ought to be unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You already have Him. If you're saved, He indwells you, but He wants to fill you. That's power. How long has it been since you said, "Lord, there's people I work with that I want to talk to about getting saved, and I must have Your power, and You've got to fill me so I can talk to them"? When's the last time you prayed a prayer like that? When's the last time you said, "Lord, I've got a son or a daughter or a brother or sister or a mom or dad or an aunt and uncle, somebody in my family, they're not saved, and I'm going to go talk to them, and I've got to have Your power, and would You fill me and empower me so I could go talk to them"? You know, church, we're Baptists, but we ought not to be afraid of the Holy Spirit's power. It is available to help us win this world to Jesus Christ. The power is not in our dirt. We're just earthen vessels. The power is available from the Holy Spirit to fill you that you can help others to get saved. See, you don't have to go to Bible college to be a soul winner. You have to be Spirit-filled. You don't have to understand all the theological intricacies of the gospel, but you do have to be Spirit-filled. And I don't care if you've been saved a short time or a long time. The Holy Spirit indwells you if you're saved, and you need to be Spirit-filled. You need to get on your knees and pray that the Holy Spirit would fill you so you could be a soul winner. That's a power that is available from God to enable you to be a soul winner. Does that make sense, yes or no? You need it. There's a second power available, and it's the power of the Word of God. Finish this verse. Y'all ready? Finish this verse. Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." There is power in the Word of God. There's power in this book. Listen, you don't have to be able to give a good flowery testimony to get people saved, but you do have to take the power of the Word of God and give it to them. It's this book that changes lives. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and use the power of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, Faith Baptist Church, you can see people saved. It's not your ability. It's His. It's not your power. It's this. When I was in the Philippines a couple of years ago preaching the gospel, or I guess it was last year sometime, I was in the Philippines preaching the gospel. I met a pastor named Nap Donato, and I fell in love with Pastor Nap. We went soul winning a lot with Pastor Nap, and we'd give out tracts. And we'd go down to markets and give out tracts, and I just fell in love with his method of giving out tracts. Pastor Donato, as he gave out tracts, would quote the Bible. He wouldn't, you know, I was always in the habit of saying to somebody, I'd say something like this. I'd say, hey, can I give you a brochure about how to go to heaven? Or I'd say to him, this is a brochure to tell you how to go to heaven. Pastor Donato wouldn't do that. He's this little short Filipino guy. And I'd walk along behind him. He'd say to people, Pastor, he'd say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He'd say, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He just went along, Brother Cook, giving out tracts and quoting the Bible. There's power in the Bible. Finish this verse. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Church, I want to tell you, the Word of God is the key right under the power of the Holy Spirit. I have the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm Spirit-filled. I take the power of God's Word, and I use the power of God's Word. It's that word dunamis, which is the word dynamite. And you know dynamite is powerful. And that's where we get that Greek word. The English word dynamite, it is from the Greek word power in those verses. Dynamite alters things. You're aware of that, aren't you? The gospel alters lives. Can you imagine where Pastor would be if he hadn't gotten saved by the gospel? I mean, can you imagine Pastor Mark Money without Christ? I mean, can you imagine Pastor Money with long hair? Maybe some kind of biker with tattoos? I mean, honestly, can you imagine? See, we often sit back and think, I'm not Pastor Money. I want to tell you, he's not what he is just because somebody raised him this way. Somebody gave the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power of God's Word was shared with him, and God changed his life. See, you can't do that on your own ability, but God's given you his power, the person of the Holy Spirit, and he's given you his Word. That's the power of the gospel. And there's one more power God has given to you. It's not only the power of the Holy Spirit that you need to be a soul winner, to impact lives with the gospel. It's not only the power of God's Word that you need to be a soul winner and impact lives with the gospel. It also requires the power of speaking. Speaking. I want to tell you something tonight. Did you know that it's not right? It is not right. It is not right to pray, God, I want my family saved, and yet I never talk to them. Lord, let our church see people saved, and yet I never talk to people. There is power in speaking. Let me show you the power of speaking. Is your Bible open? Yes or no? Is your Bible open? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Put your finger on verse 14 and let me show you what God expects from us in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor. Would you say that word? The savor. Say it out loud. Maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto life, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Now look at me and notice what he says. Are you saved tonight? The Bible says, in your life, the world that's on its way to hell is to see the savor of Jesus Christ. That word savor is aroma. So we would say, the world is to, now this sounds odd, but let me show you. The world is to smell the aroma of Christ through my life. Do you understand the idea by that word aroma, that word savor? How many of you love chocolate chip cookies without walnuts? Raise your hand, good night. How many of you are on the other side, you like them with walnuts? Let me see your hand. Now, more power to you, but I prefer my chocolate chip cookies without walnuts. I've always liked it. I'm of the opinion that if they have walnuts, they're not true chocolate chip cookies. They are chocolate chip cookies with walnuts. That is a different cookie. But I like chocolate chip cookies with walnuts. And I got to tell you something. I especially like it when they're fresh out of the oven. You ever smelled that smell? When Beth and I were first married, we had an apartment here just right out of Indiana here in Ohio, and over in Heath, Ohio. And I went out one afternoon. Our apartment was right near this biking and jogging trail. And I went jogging, rode my bike. And I came back. While I was gone exercising, my wife baked chocolate chip cookies. And in our living room, kitchen, dining room was all one room. And there was a counter between the living room area and the kitchen area where the oven and the sink was. And there was this shelf here along the top of this counter. And I got off my bicycle and went to the door and smelled fresh baked chocolate chip cookies. And I went in, and Bethany was back in the bedroom getting ready or something, and this whole counter was lined up with them. And I hate to admit this, but you know what I did? I ate every one of them. I did. I ate them all. We were newlyweds. I was skinny back then. I really was. I've gained 35 pounds since I got married. And now you know why. But you know what? I ate every one of those cookies. They were incredible! You know, when they're fresh out of the oven, you don't have to chew them. Just put them in and swallow. I mean, that was incredible. But I want to tell you what did it that night. I don't do that anymore, but I'll tell you what did it that night. I walked in that night, Pastor, and smelled an aroma. And I couldn't help it. That aroma did something to my life. Now, the Bible is saying here, in our lives as Christians, the world needs to see, smell, if you will, the aroma of Christ. So I said, well, that's silly. How do you do that? Okay, look at verse 17. You in chapter 2? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God. In the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And there's your answer. Your answer is, when you're spirit-filled, Lord, I'm going to go talk to people about getting saved, and I can't do it. I'm just dirt. I'm an earthen vessel. And the Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. And I'm going to take your word. And watch this. I'm going to open my mouth and speak the gospel. When I do, the aroma of Christ is manifest in my life. The key is speaking. I want to tell you something tonight in this revival. Faith Baptist Church, I've said this several nights. This is a great church. God has given you a great pastor. I thank the Lord for the staff and the bus ministry. I thank the Lord for the testimony. I thank the Lord for the sermons you can hear on the internet that come out of this church. This is a great church. But I will tell you, until our Christianity includes winning others to Jesus Christ, then we're not the Christian we ought to be. That's the truth. You can teach Sunday school and be in the choir, but if your Christianity is not including winning others to Jesus Christ, then you're not the Christian you ought to be. You can be a deacon in this church, but you are not the deacon you ought to be biblically unless your deacon work involves helping others to come to Christ because you talk to them. You understand what I'm saying tonight? This is about the gospel. Now I'm out of time, and so let's sum it up and I'm done. It's about the gospel because, number one, the gospel is personal. For you and I who are saved, it's our gospel. We've got to take the gospel to the world. It's God's plan. You've got to be a soul winner. But we have a problem, dear Christian friend, and the problem is we're just dirt. And on top of that, Satan blinds the minds of those who will not believe, and he does it, and he does it, and he does it, and he does it. He works all the time, nonstop, blinding people to the gospel. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God, in your earthen vessel, has given you power through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, and through your opening your mouth and speaking. How long has it been since you spoke to your relatives about getting saved? How long has it been since you spoke to your coworkers about getting saved? How long has it been since you talked to your neighbors about getting saved? It is our job. The gospel is personal. But I've come tonight as well to say, maybe you're a parent of an Awana kid. And your children come home and they're memorizing these verses and they're learning the Bible, but you've never been saved. Or maybe somebody brought you as their guest tonight and you're in a church service and you have respect for this church and you stood when we stood and sat when we sat and you've paid attention and listened. You have respect. You might have even put something in the offering, but you've never been saved. I will tell you tonight, dear friend, the gospel is also personal to you. And you need to be saved. Christ died for your sins. He wants to save you. You need Jesus Christ to forgive you, to save you, to give you eternal life. I can't do that for you. But Christ can. And I've come tonight to tell you the gospel is personal, but you have a problem. Satan doesn't want you to get saved. He'd rather see you die someday and go straight to hell. But God tonight is willing to save you. And in this very service tonight, you can get saved. I mean, this very service. You can get saved tonight. You can tonight ask Christ to save you. And I'm telling you, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is what the Bible says about Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. This is what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. This is what the Apostle Paul said about Jesus. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Friend, Jesus is the only way to go to heaven. And if you'll trust him to save you tonight, he will. He will. And he wants to. And we've come to this service to pray for you. And we've come to this service to give the gospel to you. And we've come to this service tonight to invite you to get saved. So why don't you do it tonight? In fact, do this. Right at your seat, right where you are. Would you just close your eyes? Just close your eyes right where you are. Just close your eyes. Nobody will look around. We wouldn't embarrass you for anything in the world. But how many of you in this service tonight would say, David, I'm just going to tell you right out, right now, flat out, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. But you know what? I'd sure like to know that. I'd sure like Jesus to save me and forgive me and give me eternal life. I can tell you right now, I don't want to go to hell. And I don't know that I'm saved, but I want to be. And David, nobody's looking around, but would you pray for me? I'm the only one that'll see your head. Would you pray for me? I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Here's my hand. Would you pray for me? Why, ma'am, I'll pray for you. God bless you. Is there somebody else? Me too. Ma'am, I'll pray for you. God bless you. And God bless you, young lady. God bless you. Is there a third person? I'm sorry, a fourth? There are three hands. Is there a fourth? Is there a fourth? God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. I'll pray for you. Is there a fifth? Me too, David. I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to. All right. God bless you, two fellas. God bless you, five guys. Is there somebody else tonight? I want to be saved too, Brother Dave. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. You pray for me too. No, our eyes are closed. God bless you way back there. God bless you tonight. Is there somebody else? You know, I don't want to go to hell. I believe Jesus died for my sins. I want him to save me. Is there somebody else? I'm not going to be too hasty here, but is there somebody else tonight before we go home? Is there somebody else? All right, son. God bless you. Is there somebody else tonight? Me too, Dave. Me too. I'd like to know I'm saved. Now look, our eyes are closed. Our eyes are closed. Would each of you that just raised your hand be willing to look at me? Nobody else will know you're looking but me and you. You just raised your hand. Would you look at me? Now for each of you, I just want to talk to you just like it's me and you. I know you believe in God, don't you? Don't you believe in God? I know you do. Don't you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Do you believe that tonight? He did. Do you believe that tonight? He loves you. He cares. Do you believe that, man? He did. Do you realize tonight that right there at your seat right now, you can ask Christ to save you and he will? You don't add Jesus to your works. It's not, yeah, I'm baptized plus Jesus. I come to Jesus and say, Jesus, you're the only way to heaven and I want you to save me. Jesus alone can do it. So would each of you bow your head right there at your seat and ask Jesus to save you? Close your eyes. And if you'll do it, will you pray like this? Just bow your head and close your eyes. And in your heart, say, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. You do know that, don't you? God, I know I'm a sinner. And because of my sins, I ought to go to hell. Pray that. I know I ought to go to hell. But dear Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you died for me. And you were buried and you were raised from the dead for me. And dear Jesus, tonight I'm asking you to save me. Dear Jesus, will you save me tonight? Friend, if you'll ask Jesus to save you right there at your seat right now, he will. Now look, if you did, right now you're asking Jesus to save you at your seat. Will you look at me again? Will you just look at me again? I just asked Jesus to save me right here at my seat. Will you look at me again? Why, friend, I want to tell you, if you did, here's what the Bible says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, we wouldn't embarrass you for anything in the world. But could I ask you to do this before we go home? Here's what I'm going to do. My wife's at the piano. And in a moment, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And when I do, I'm going to ask Christians. I preach to Christians, you know, about telling others about Jesus. I'm going to ask Christians if they need to come to the front and pray at the front of the building. And some of them will. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask counselors to come at the front and just be here at the front, ladies and guys. And every one of you that just prayed and said, Lord Jesus, will you save me? Before we go home tonight, would you do this? Nobody will look. I'll have everybody close their eyes. You step out to the nearest aisle and come to the front. Pastor Lopez, come here so they can see you. Just come on up here real quick. And let's see. Here's Pastor Morris. These two men are going to stand up here. All you need to do is this. Come to one of these men and say, I just asked Jesus to save me. And here's why. We'll have a brief word of prayer with you before you go home tonight. We want to just say thank you, Lord, for saving this friend of ours. And we want to pray for you. And that way we can help you if you need help. But especially, we want to pray for you. It's that simple, all right? Everybody stand, will you? And would